things and which are important to life. And maybe our spirits are broken today. And God is here to speak to our hearts, our mind. Doesn't matter what the situation is, whatever the issue that is going on in your life right now, or this last week, or these days. God is a real God, and He is a living God. He's not dead on the Good Friday, and He remained dead. And we just worship an amazing personality that is dead. He rose again on the third day, right? Praise God. Sometimes we don't feel that He is right with us, but He is there. He is there because He loves us so much. So I want to encourage you today, this morning, whatever is your burden, whatever is the weight that you're feeling on your soul, on your heart, your mind is just kind of weighed with a lot of things. Jesus is saying, come to me and I will bear the burden that you carry. Give your burden to me and I will carry that. And I want to give you comfort and an ease in this world, because there is a trouble in this world because we live in an imperfect world. So focus on yourself today and really connect with God, with what you're going through. So let's bow our heads. The altars are always open. You can come to the altar anytime and pray to God and give thanks to Him and give His burden to Him. You can pray wherever you are sitting here today. So let's bow our heads today, calm our hearts, calm our minds, and come before the Lord. Father in heaven, we come before you, O God, this morning. O God, we consider ourselves such a small creature in this world, not only in this world, but in this universe. There is so much that you have created and you have done. And your presence alone, O God, your being alone as a God is overwhelming. We cannot, as a human, comprehend everything that you are, O God, in our life. For the last 6 weeks, we have been talking about eternity and what that means, and the idea of God and unending life that you have given to us, not on this earth, but after, when we finish our journey on this earth, and what it all means. So, Father, we try to comprehend that. And it is in a limited way we can do that. And in the midst of all that, oh God, who you are as a God, it is mind-blowing. But, oh Father, in all those things, oh God, we live our life on this earth. You have given us life. You have given us the breath. And, oh Father, there is a limited time for all of us on the face of this earth. And we have our challenges, oh God. We have our times of amazing, joyful moments. And we give you thanks, oh God. We give you praises for that. And on the other side, oh God, we have some difficult challenges, emotional, and some of the things that we cannot even think about. How do we tackle those? But you say to us that come the way you are and with your burden and give those burdens to me. And today, oh Father, whatever it is, whatever we are going through, which is beyond our capacity to tackle, oh Father God, we just want to bring those burdens before you. Just lay those burdens before you, oh God, to you. With our human minds, we have lots of solutions that we have thought about. But, oh God, we cannot resolve anything in our life in our own strength. We need you, oh God. We need you in our life. And if we have not realized that, oh Father God, so far, today give us that sense that I need to surrender myself to God. In this messy situation, whatever I'm going through, I need to surrender myself to God. And I need to say to God, oh God, it is too much burden for me to bear. Just have it, oh Father. I just want to give it to you. Those hurts, that pain, that messy situation, I just cannot handle that. Oh God, I need your help. And so, God, at this point in time, we just want to surrender all that to you and receive direction from you, oh God, in our lives. So, oh Father, have your way in our lives, oh God. But in midst of all these things, oh God, we pray that that you will give us the heart to listen to you, to hear the words that you're speaking to our into our lives, so that we can make those decisions in our lives. We can walk the path that you direct us in our life, oh God. And that is what we want to do. So have your way, oh Father, in our life. Have your way, oh God, in our messy situation, our burdensome situation today. And we just want to surrender ourselves, oh God. But in midst of all that, we want to praise you, give you thanks, oh God, for who you are, a living God who loves us so much. Today, we want to pray for, very specifically, for people who are struggling with their health issues. We pray for Bob Bowers and Judy Bowers, and we pray, oh God, that you will watch over them. We pray for other families who are seeking your touch, oh God, from you with their health challenges. We pray for Renee today that you will just watch over her, put your hand upon her, oh God. Give her the strength that she needs today, oh God. We pray for Kat and just be with her and strengthen her also. We pray for Barbara and John there, oh God, and we do not know their entire situation, but watch over them. Give them the strength that they need. We praise you, God, for Patty Schultz. She's here today after her surgery. And thank you, God, for her life and taking her through the healing process. We are grateful for Mark today that he is with us. And God, thank you, God, for taking him through his surgery as well. Put your hand upon him and help him through the recovery of his recovery journey, oh Father God. Watch over Hollinger family as well. Thank you, Jesus, for giving us this opportunity today to praise you, give you thanks, and bring our needs before you, oh God. As we continue to worship you, oh Father, we worship you through the reading of your word and reflecting upon your word. And also, we want to worship you through the giving of our tithes and offering, oh Father. Receive it. Help us to give generously, oh God. And oh Father, have your way in our life. Help us to give in your household what belongs to you. Everything belongs to you. But help us to give cheerfully to you. And, oh God, we pray today for our country that in this week you will be with each and every human being who is involved in the process of election, oh God, that you will watch over this process, that you will give the wisdom to everyone who is involved, the election officials, the process, the people who are going to the poll. We pray for the peace that comes from you, We pray for the wisdom that comes from you, O God. And have your way, O Father. For our great country, that it'll glorify your name. And your kingdom will come upon this earth as it is in heaven. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. And as we continue to worship the Lord Jesus Christ through the giving of our tithes and offering, the baskets are at the back. If ushers will come, take the plates and circulate them, that's great. And you have an option of putting your tithes and offering at the baskets, there are black baskets there. Or also give online on wasilalakechurch.org. You can do that as well if you would like. But let's clap, give thanks to God, and praise God for this. First week of November, just 2 days ago, we started our summer, and I don't know what happened, right? And that's the way the days just kind of move on, and months after months, and weeks after week, and too many things to cover. We are just kind of going to be thinking about Christmas even before Thanksgiving. You know, of course, Thanksgiving dinner is there at Menard Center, so be part of that. Thanksgiving is important. But we need to also think about Christmas and really process that in our heart and our soul. And, you know, it is important. That's the reason this candle is here. We will be doing 14 days of light to people in our circle. And so I just want to encourage you, and we'll be talking this constantly throughout this month, so that we become light of Jesus. We don't want to keep the light to ourselves. That is important. But this week, we have a very important thing for our nation. The election are going to be there on Tuesday. So I just want to kind of share a few thoughts from the Word of God about that. You know, we're in a very critical season of election, and that stirs up many emotions in our hearts, in our lives. This has been probably stirring up in our lives, in our hearts, in our minds for last few months and weeks, and have sometimes felt anxiety about all these things. And God has kept us on this earth, and God has given us this great country and the freedom into this great country, which we should, none of us should take it for granted, the freedom, because many people have sacrificed their life for this great country. Just if you want to kind of ask me, as a person who has come from outside of United States and as a citizen of United States now, our whole family, it is, when you see the world, you really appreciate our homeland, isn't it, Patty? When you just kind of come, because the reason I said Patty, sorry to call you out, Patty, but she, Patty and Greg just recently traveled in it. They never thought that it would be just, you know, you were sharing with me. And it is just an amazing feeling to come to our homeland, the free land, you know. And we have a role to play in all that kind of a thing. And, you know, lots of us have personal anxiety, personal feelings about that. And I felt some of that uneasiness about this process and about our church as well, and how we should lead, and I should lead the church and be a pastor to you. And as I think about this, this whole process, you know, all of us have different perspective. I have a perspective and are approaching into this various points. Most people have talked, you know, to will cast their vote based on the issues that matter most to you and most to people. And that is the right thing to do. And I'm grateful to be your pastor and recognize what an opportunity and responsibility it is to minister to you and in all situations. And this is an important situation as well. And as I think and as I process in my mind and heart about this, I end up, as I'm sitting down there, I'm asking the Lord to guide me, how do we pray into this situation? You know, there can be lots of thoughts, lots of emotions, lots of anxiety. But the bottom line is, it is important for all of us to pray about it. And you ask the Lord, how do I pray, God, about this? There are lots of things. There's lots of anxiety. Lots of thoughts that are being shared. And, oh, God, I need your direction. If we ask direction to God in all aspects of our life, we should ask direction to God about this important aspect of our country as well. So I end up asking the question, how do we pray? And it didn't take too long for me to really understand how do we pray. And Jesus says in his word, this is how then you should pray. You know that, right? It's in the word of God. This is how then you should pray. And he says, this is then how you should pray. And he says, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Just listen to the words. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very powerful words. You know, there are two parts, you know, there are two parts. This is very important, so I would like to share this with you. There are two parts to this prayer. The idea of hallowed. When Jesus petitioned God to hallow his name, he asked that God acts in a way that visibly demonstrates his glory and sets himself apart. Now, what that means is, let me say this again. When God asks, hallowed be thy name, O God, you know, Jesus is asking God the Father to visibly, his name be expressed in midst of us, in midst of our nation, in midst of our community, the name of God be visibly be present in the church, in our family, in our community, in our schools, in our every place. Oh God, your name be visibly be present. That is what the prayer is. And the second part is the word, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Your kingdom come, your will be done as it is in heaven. Oh, Father, bring about your kingdom here amongst us. It is in my life, personally, in my family's life, in my church life, in my work life. Let your kingdom come, oh God. Let it be as it is in heaven, in present as we live our life, in our nation, in our cities, in our political process, in our governments, everywhere. Let your kingdom reside. We want the world to continue to be restored to reflect more of Jesus in this world. So this is what you do. Some of you have already voted. Praise God for that. Don't stay home. Go and vote. You will see the importance of that if you visit, and I'm just picking the country from nowhere, to Somalia or some other place. You know, Brad travels to so many countries and he has seen how oppressive the countries are, the process is. So go express yourself and go vote. Because it's a freedom God has given to us. Vote thoughtfully and prayerfully. Pray. Ask God's direction in your soul and in your life as you do that. Vote that you believe will set apart God's name and what you think, according to how we prayed, and what you think will bring about God's kingdom here on earth, because that is what we have been praying, bringing God's kingdom upon this earth. You know, may we be reminded that God's kingdom will not be brought through the political parties, but through our own life, what we do. It is about our individual life and what we do, that God's kingdom is brought upon this earth. Let's not depend on somebody, but be a part of all that as the citizens of this country so that God's kingdom comes on this. This is a prayer God has asked us to pray. You know, respect one another. Some people may have one opinion and some other people may have other opinion. Whatever the opinions are, let's love people with the love of Jesus and respect one. You know, the perfect, you know, if we are honest with ourselves, no one sees it perfectly. No one has the perfect perspective because we are human beings and we are imperfect people and we will always see something imperfect. So, you know, just respect one another. You know, God, we trust you for the process of this country and we want to commit this country and everything in God's hand. God is our Savior. He will take us through. Doesn't matter what your opinion is or whatever it is, let's learn to depend upon God and ask for His wisdom. So let's pray. John, do you have that on screen? I'm not sure. Let's pray together. And I just want to encourage you, throughout the United States of America, tomorrow, Monday, 6 o'clock in the morning, the church will pause. That is you, people, wherever you are, you will pause for a minute or so and pray for our country. 6 o'clock in the evening as well, two times, 6 o'clock in the morning and 6 p.m. Let's pause wherever you are. Let's pause and pray for our country. Can you imagine millions of people pausing at 6 o'clock in the morning, 6 o'clock in the evening? Doesn't matter what time zone they are. Our country was going to be covered with the prayer, powerful prayer, invoking the name of Jesus upon this country. And God will lead us and guide us into that. So please commit yourself tomorrow, 6 o'clock in the morning and 6 o'clock in the evening. Let's pray for our country. So let's stand up for a moment and let's pray for our great nation that God will have his way in midst of us. This is the presence of God is here. And let's bow our heads. You can look at the screen if you want to. Is it there? Yeah. So let's pray. This is how Jesus has taught us to pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today your daily bread and forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For the kingdom and the power and the glory are yours now and forever, amen. Praise God. You be seated. Thank you guys for listening to me carefully today, and let's keep depending on God. So let's turn our attention to the Word of God today. Of course, we spoke a lot of these things from the Word of God. You know, we have taken the journey for about eternity for 6 weeks, and my kids were asking, Dad, are you going to continue the topic? I said, though the eternity topic has to be, you know, technically you should just kind of go for eternity. But let's not do that. I think we do not have that much patience as a human being to just kind of keep talking about the same topic. But, you know, this is a standalone sermon today, but kind of ties up to this whole eternity thing as we go from one place to another. And we are going to be, you know, talking about different things in November and just exciting topics coming up for December, of course, to celebrate Christmas and all that kind of a thing. But we did talk about, just so that you remember, so that I can connect this to this topic, is, you know, about the eternity and about preparing our life is, the first thing we did last Sunday we talked about is we accept Jesus as our personal Savior to prepare ourselves for eternity, first thing. The second thing is living our life in obedience to God. We can receive Him as our personal Savior, but it is important for us to you know, live our life in obedience to God, and it is important to keep building our life eternity, so we have to keep taking journey and keep obeying God throughout our life. And what have you, and then keep asking the question, that this question will be asked of us when we face that eternity: what have you done with what I gave you? You know, I didn't tell you this, and I should have probably, you know, on Saturday, you know, there's a time difference. My brother-in-law went to be with the Lord. He was a pastor for many years and all that, and 76 years old, and he had the funeral. I was watching late night online his funeral and all that kind of a thing. And boy, it's a sad situation, but I kind of sat there watching and talking to my sister and all that kind of a thing. And of course, it's a sad thing. But as I sat there and I praised God and gave thanks, and all my sisters and our family, and it's a different perspective, really, about going to heaven, is because we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's a very different thing that we know what happens, and we talked about that, and it's a sad situation, but to heaven rejoice. And it is because, you know, you have been preparing yourself for the eternity all along on the face of this earth. And, you know, some of you, if you have not caught up the sermons, just go back and you can always listen online. But as we prepare our life, and we should be preparing our life, the idea I just want to kind of float today is take captive every thought to make it obedient to God. It is important for us to really take captive our thoughts in our mind and make those thoughts obedient to God. Because, you know, we talk lots about living a life obedient to God. But boy, you sit down somewhere right now, you're probably 13 thoughts going on through your heads, right? Though you're looking at me, you're not just focused on one thought. That is the mind of a human being. You know, as you're listening to this, you're thinking about what is being in the oven. You're thinking about tomorrow. You're thinking this, that, you know. Lots of thoughts are going on in our mind. That's how the human mind works, and multi-things are going on. And the idea is really, many times we talk about this whole idea, and the Bible really gives us, and this is not the new topic that we have talked about and we're talking about today, but the Bible really talks about taking captive our thoughts, because thoughts are important, our mind is important, because what we think, that's what we become. And so it gives us the direction about how do we manage our mind so that we become who God wants us to become. You know, there is one very famous author and Stan Toler kind of quotes W. Clements, and he says, what the mind can conceive you can achieve. So whatever you want to achieve, whatever you want to become, your mind has to first think about those things. Then it comes into the reality, and if it is a positive thing, that's what we end up doing that. If it is negative thing, that's what it ends up doing that. In Philippians chapter 4, verse 8, talks about taking our thoughts captive and make it obedient to God. You know, as we kind of think about it, it's important for us to really focus on ourselves. Many times, as we think about all these, you know, we read the Word of God and we end up kind of talking about that, you know, it's not about me. It's about God. Of course it is about God. But God has given us life. And God has given us, you know, we are the stewards of our life that God has gifted us. So we have to focus on ourselves in a positive way. In a sense, we have to pay attention to ourselves. Who are we? We have to answer that question. And, you know, just to kind of, kind of illustrate the point that how important the thoughts are, the story is told by Andy Carr. It is in one of the newspaper. It came in 2009, and who tells a story about this this lady who is everywhere she goes, she ends up in an accident. Like she's walking and she'll fall and she'll break the stuff and she will drop the thing. She will bump the car somewhere. And all those kinds of things that are just happening. She will be losing the house keys. She will lose the car keys. And she will probably lose her wallet. And everything is kind of going wrong with her. And she goes into the gift shop. And the most fragile thing and most expensive thing, you know, she's even standing there and something happens and she breaks that. And that just kind of happens. And, you know, her accident thing that is kind of, you know, taken over her life. And she, you know, she just kind of keeps saying, you know, this always happens to me. And then she jokes and she tells people she's embarrassed about that. But she says, if there is something to break within the 10 mile radius, that I will get it. And she really thinks that is who she is. And that is what happens. And she calls herself clumsy. She says, I'm such a clumsy person and I break things and all that kind of things, and that keeps happening and that keeps happening and that keeps happening with her. And the key is that she keeps telling in her mind, and she verbalizes that I'm clumsy, I'm this way, and I'll break things, and this is who I am. And she has defined herself in her mind that this is the person I am. Just imagine if she kept telling her, you know, I'm not going to break things. She keeps telling her that I'm not a clumsy person, that I can be better, and she keeps telling her, probably she will become a better person. And, you know, many times in our life, we create ourselves who we are by defining ourselves. Oh, I'm a bad parent. I'm a bad person. Nobody likes me. And we just kind of keep telling those things to our mind, to our heart, and just keep speaking to those things to ourselves. You know, I think in past I have given this illustration about these athletes who are just, you know, if you look at them on TV, and some of you guys who are athletes, you probably do this or don't do this, I don't know. But they keep talking to themselves. And you wonder what they keep talking to themselves. And you see on the TV and they're just kind of mumbling something. And sometimes they're talking, but sometimes it's visible they're talking. What they're talking is they're talking positive things to themselves and saying that I can do this. I can run this race. I can find a way in this game and make it right. And you know, I have a role to play, and it's going to be positive, and it is important what we tell ourselves. If we tell ourselves we are worthless and we are shameful and we are failure, and that's the route we keep going all the time, that is what it's going to be surrounded, our thoughts, and that is what is going to reflect in our life. So it is important for us to really think about ourselves, the right things. And the Bible really gives us the direction about that and says that, you know, take every thought captive. It's an action verb. And take every thought captive and make it obedient to God. It is not just kind of a free-flowing life we live, and whatever thoughts come to our mind, we just entertain those thoughts and let it flow with that. You know, Bible is very clear that we don't do that. We don't present ourselves into those negative thoughts, those tempting thoughts, but we take those thoughts captive and make it obedient to God. And that is what it really is. So it is a focus on our life. Focus on ourselves. And as I said earlier, what is it? Who are we? And Scripture tells us that who are we? I'm going to kind of highlight some of the things who we are in Christ. You know, we are accepted people. If you have a relationship, most of you have a relationship with Jesus. And so that makes us who we are. That gives us the identity who we are. I mean, there are lots of things talked in this world about identity. You know, it's a buzzword word in this few years, what is your identity, and all those kinds of things. And I don't want to go into that too much. But, you know, man, more and more I think about this. What is your identity? My identity comes from Lord Jesus Christ, because I have a relationship with him. Think about that. Think about that. You know, God has created all of us, and when you have a relationship with him, your identity becomes something very different, and you cannot explain the world around you what that identity is. When you start speaking, they just kind of look at you weird. My identity is Christ, because he has accepted me as his child. And so the Word of God talks about it, and I'm going to give you some of the references. I'm not going to read all the scripture passages, but I am a God's child. That is your identity. When you have a relationship with God, you are a child of God, and John chapter 1 verse 12 talks about it. That is who you are. You're accepted as a child of God. I'm a friend of Jesus Christ. And the Word of God says, I'm not only a child of God, but I can speak to him. I can sit beside him. I can share my burdens to God. And I don't have to think twice. All that confusion that is going on in my heart, in my mind, all the challenges that are going on in my life, I can sit with God and speak to him as you will speak to your friend. You know, you have friends, I hope all of us have some friends remaining. And there's a better friend. Who is that better friend? You can just kind of sit with that friend and just talk, anything you want to talk. And they're not going to judge you. They're not going to pass judgment to you. You can do that. And that is what we can do with God himself, Jesus himself. And he is available to us. And that's the reason the Word of God says, I'm a friend of Jesus. I can sit with me, have a communication, have a conversation with him. So that's who you are. I have been bought, and I belong to God. I belong to God. That is where identity is. You know, I went to Costco the other day, and you have to just kind of scan the membership. I'm a member of Costco, and so many of you are. And so you go there, and you go with the confidence that I'm a member here, you know. And it's not even probably a bad example, but you belong to God. You are a part of who God is. And 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 to 20 describes that identity of yours, that you belong to God. I'm complete in Christ. Hebrews chapter 4, 14 to 16. I'm not an incomplete person. When I have a relationship with God, I become a complete person. You know, many times you think about yourself and you start talking all those negative things as if the bird is sitting on your shoulder and constantly talking to you that this is who you are, these are the faults you have, you fail here, you speak bad, you know, you don't know how to talk, and all those negative things that come and constantly keeps talking in our head, in our ear, in our head, and Satan loves to do that. And the Word of God says that you know, you're a human being and you have some weaknesses, and it is okay to have those weaknesses because nobody's perfect. But man, when you have a relationship with God, you become a complete person with Jesus. You do not have to worry about those weaknesses and those faults that you have. Christ makes our life complete. And that is what the Word of God says to us. It's not only that, but you have an assurance with Jesus Christ. Many times, you know, probably during this 6 weeks of eternity messages, we probably felt very unsure about ourselves, facing the eternity and all that, and preparing our life for eternity. And it is important, probably we overemphasize that we have a responsibility in this world, that we cannot live our life the way we want to live our life. But understand that when we commit our life to Jesus, when we obey Him, His commandment, we have an assurance from Jesus. And what are those assurances? That I am free from the condemnation, that I'm not going to be held responsible for, because my sins are forgiven, because I have asked for my sins forgiven, and I obey God in my life. So there is, you know, I have a freedom. When I face that eternity, He is going to be there to receive me in that kingdom. We have that assurance. I'm assured that God works for my good in all circumstances. God is not there. Understand, in Romans chapter 8, 28 talks about that. God is not there to get us. Many times we think that God is there. He has created this universe. He has created me. He has given me life. And He is out there to get me. He is just looking at me and wants to trap me somewhere. And He's just looking, oh, look at that. You made that mistake. And I'm going to punish you now. And I'm going to get you for that. And when you face that eternity, I'm going to bring all these things. That is not how God is operating. God's desire for us is to work for us, to make things, you know, right for us. He is working for our good in all circumstances. That's what the Word of God says. So He's not there to break us down. He's not there to stumble us, and He doesn't lay the traps in front of us so that we can just kind of get trapped into that. But God is there. He's working in all circumstances for us. And I'm confident that God will complete, the Word of God says, God will complete all the good work that He started in me. And though you start the work, and sometimes we fail, and God is there for us to complete the work, that is a good work that is started in our life. And the Word of God also says, I have not been given the spirit of fear. So we do not have to live in the fear that, oh my goodness, what's going to happen? But the Spirit, God has given us the spirit of power, love, and the sound mind. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. So we do not have to fear. We need to put our confidence and faith and assurance in God. And the scripture tells us that you do not have to fear. God is with you. He is going to take us through. He understands our weaknesses. He understands our humanness. And He's there for us to build that bridge and build that gap which exists in our life. He's not just out there to kind of tell us that you're a failure and I'm out to get you. That is not who God is. You know, the third thing is, God, you are a significant person. The scripture tells us we are not only, we have identity in Christ and we have assurance in God and we are accepted people, but we are significant people. If there is anybody who is sitting here listening online or any thought that you have that I'm not significant, I am just an, you know, I'm not important person. You know, if that thought is going on, and I'm sure we think about that many times than the less times, that, oh, who am I? I'm just a simple person. I have no significance in this life. And Satan wants you to be at that place. I'm not significant. The Word of God says you're a very significant person. And this is what it says in John chapter 15 and verse 5. It says, I'm a branch of Jesus Christ, the true vine and the channel of his life. So when you have a relationship with Jesus, you are connected with the main branch, and you're part of that, and you're a very significant person because of that. God has poured his life in you. You know what? When you have a relationship and when you walk with him and when you obey with him, the Spirit of God lives in you. And you know what kind of a spirit lives in you? The same spirit, the Word of God says, which resurrected Jesus Christ from his death. And the miracle, the powerful miracle that happened, the same spirit lives in you. So you must be sitting there or doing your thing. Be thankful to God that, God, I'm such a significant person because your spirit lives in me. The same spirit who has the power lives in me, and I have a significance. The thing is, I am God's temple. You know, many times we go and look at, you know, as a tourist probably in some places, and, you know, there are some of these just amazing churches, the buildings, and, you know, you go to England and Europe and some of these, you know, old temples that have been built and the churches that have been built, and it is such a huge, significant, the architect and the structures which are there. And the Word of God says that you are God's temple because the Spirit of God lives in you. You are such a significant person. Word of God also says that I'm God's workmanship, Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10. That God has created you with a lot of thought and a lot of it. He has not just brought you in this world just by accident and just, you know, just, oh, this is a failed product, so put all of them in Alaska or something like that. God has not done that for us. Maybe some of us want to believe that, but just trust in the Word of God that he has given you enough significance that you are his workmanship. He has worked on you very carefully and has made you the way you are. You know, the Word of God also says, I may approach God with freedom and confidence. And you have the way out. You do not have to take appointment of the greatest creator of this, you know, the creator of this universe. Not the greatest, but the only creator of this earth and this universe. You can approach God himself with freedom and confidence. Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 12, it talks about that. So here is, in conclusion, I want to say that don't think about yourself that you're a lesser person, that you have an identity with Christ. Your mind is important. So as we find ourselves in Christ, in the ongoing day-to-day life, we got to capture our thoughts and make it obedient to God. What that means also is one important thing is this, that let's surround ourselves with people of God who are influencing us positively. And I'll just talk about this about a couple of minutes and I'll end. You know, Zig Ziglar said this. Zig Ziglar was an amazing person. I heard him once live, I believe, and just he's not in the world today, went to be with the Lord, but just amazing author and just amazing speaker. And he said, this is his quote, and he says, "I don't want to be around people who brighten the room when they have left the room. I want to be with people who brighten the room when they enter the room." And that opens up a lot of things. What that says is, it is important for us to be people who brighten other people's life. And we want to seek out the people who are encouragers and who lift our souls and who are builders in our life. You do not want to hang around with people who constantly speak negative things, who break our spirit. You do not want to do that. You know, there's a great story in Acts chapter 4 and about Barnabas, whose original name was Joseph in early church time. And you know the story of Barnabas. His name became Barnabas from Joseph. His name became Barnabas because he was an encourager. You know, he did amazing things during his time that he always was encourager to people. You know, he encouraged and gave second chance to Mark, John during their missionary journey. And you know, Barnabas even fought with Paul to kind of give second chance to Mark, John to join the second missionary journey. And he was an encourager. Even if he failed, Barnabas kind of gave an encouragement. You know, he spoke on behalf of Paul. When Paul was Saul and he was persecuting the church and he wanted to preach the gospel, everybody was afraid. And Barnabas kind of stood and spoke on behalf of Paul and said, you know, we should let him in. He's a good guy. And you know, he was an encourager and he made things possible for Paul to preach the gospel in his early times. And that is what the Barnabas was. We want to find in our life the Barnabases. You know, seek them out and look for those people and spend time with them, receive the life from them on the face of this earth. That is what it is. Evaluate your surroundings. Are you speaking to people who always keep speaking negative things in your life? You know, make those changes. But here is the important thing. Are you a person who gives out negativity all the time? Think about that also. Maybe we don't realize that we are speaking negative things all the time into the lives of people instead of putting light of Jesus in the lives of people. That is the question we need to ask in our lives. And that is the challenge that we have as we take care of our soul and surround ourselves with the people of positive thinking in a sense, and the light of Jesus and the words of Jesus in our life, and who are all constantly helping us to build our life. We got to be the one who pour that thing into other people's life. So let's evaluate ourselves. You yourself is the best judge of yourself and your life, and think about these things as we live our life in this world. So we have an opportunity this Christmas season. Of course, I have talked about that, and I will keep talking to you. We can be light to people during this Christmas. Christmas is an amazing season. Many people are open to listening, and you know, they want to hear, and they want to, you know, there are lots of open doors. And here is a card about, and please take it with you, about the 14 days of light. Let's pour a light into people's life. How do we do that? The process is kind of written there. Just sign up for that, because I would like to know, so that I can send you the material and I can be a light to the congregation. You know, pray and make a list of the people that God is bringing in your life, that, man, Maybe this person, this family is sad during this Christmas season. They're my neighbors, or they're, I know of them from somewhere, or whatever it is. And God will bring those people into your life. If you will think about it, if you'll pray about it, God will bring those people to your attention. And there are lots of people who wants the genuine relationship, and God, and make, write their names on this prayer card and pray for them in this month. And then when we start 14 days of light, I will provide you with the text and the small devotion, very small devotion about the Christmas and what Christmas is all about, and send it their way. All 14 days, in a continuous 14 days. And during that 14 days, buy a gift for them for maybe $5, $10, and if you God puts it on your heart, you can even spend $100, but I'm not the one telling you, whatever God leads you. You know, that will be the great investment that you will do. You know, buy something for their family, or write a Christmas card or something like that, and give it to them. And say, this represents the greatest gift that Jesus gave it to us. So this gift, I give it to you, is the representation of Jesus has been born into this world as the greatest gift. Just speak those words to them and invite them. There will be a lot of invitation cards here for one of our Christmas service in our church, so that they can hear the word of God and receive the light through you as they live their life. There are lots of people who are desperately looking for that life. They are, you know, not in a good place. And God is crying out to all of us and saying, will you be the light to people? You may say, Pastor, I don't know anybody. You know this, and if you say that, and if you think that, Satan is really convincing you that you don't know anybody who needs light. There are lots of people, lots of people who need the light of Jesus. During this Christmas, let's be the light to people. As every Sunday you're going to see this light, as you see this candle here, represents the light of Jesus. And every time you see this, think in your mind, how can I take this light of Jesus and give it to people in this world? Because the world is desperate, and God has placed you in the right in the middle of the world to spread the light. So take these cards home. There will be somebody at the door to kind of give it to you. Please do that. But as we close today, we are going to kind of go into the communion part of our service. I know it's a little late. We had to cover a lot of these things, and we'll just remember our God who died for us on the cross. And not only that, but he rose again. And Jesus said to all of us as a people of God that do this often in remembrance of what I have done for you. So I want to encourage you today to bow our heads for a moment and reflect in your life as we are about to prepare ourselves to be a part of the communion today. Matthew, if you'll please come help me. And Larry, please come help me. And as we do this, let's take this moment and pray to God. Father in heaven, we come before you, O God, this morning. There are lots of thoughts that we need to process in our mind today. The Word of God says, take all your thoughts and make it obedient to God. And as we kind of process this, we have an identity in you, O God, if we have a relationship with you. And we need to really focus on that identity of ours. And Father, today, as you have asked us to do this often, we want to evaluate our life today. And we need to really ask this question, God, am I right with you? When we participate in this communion, that communion itself is not going to make you right with God. But because you're right with God, and you have asked for forgiveness of your sins, and you have a relationship with God, and you acknowledge his death on the cross and his resurrection on the third day, that is the reason we participate at this table, taking this bread and this cup, oh God, in remembrance of what you have done in our life. So today, as we evaluate our life, oh God, help us, oh God. If our life is right with you, we are grateful and we rejoice in that. We are all welcome to the table. But if our life is not right with you, oh God, help us right now to make that life right with you, oh Father God. So let's take this moment. If there is anybody here today who wants to be a part of this table and is not right with God, we can make that life right with God right now. If anybody here, all eyes closed, can you raise your hand and we will pray for you to make things right with God. Anybody? Father, if there is anyone who is praying this prayer, you know their heart. And they can pray the prayer to the Lord that, God, forgive my sins. I'm a sinner. And I believe in you, O God, that you died for you on the cross and you rose again. And through that plan of salvation, my sins can be forgiven. So, God, I surrender myself to you. Please forgive my sins today. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, O God. If you have prayed that prayer, and if you're right with God, God invites you to the table. And let's do this today. Please come forward. And receive the bread. There is a gluten-free option here at the table if anybody would like a gluten-free. But as you're prepared, let's come forward, receive the bread and receive the cup. And just hold on to this element and we will take it all together. So come as you're ready, please come.
Can compare your living.
So as we participate in the, as Jesus invites us to the table, he says, do this in remembrance of me. Because I died for you, his body was broken. His body was broken for all of us on that cross, and his blood was shed. This cup represents that. So let's take in remembrance that Jesus died for us on that cross, and his body was broken for us. Let's take this cup in remembrance that Jesus' blood was shed for us. And through his blood, our sins are forgiven. And let's praise God and give thanks to him. Let's do it together. Let's bow our heads. Father in heaven, we are grateful to you, O God, for who you are. Keep speaking to our hearts, our minds. And O God, pour your grace into our life, your blessing in our life, O God. Use us for your glory, O God, today. And O Father, help us, O Father, to be a light to the world, especially during this Christmas season. Thank you, God. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Go in peace and have spend your time with the family today. God bless you.
We're being closer together.